So like I said, we're starting this brand new series called Forgotten God. And for some of you, I don't know, you might hear that title and go, okay, a Holy Spirit series titled Forgotten God. That almost sounds to me at times like blasphemous. Like you can't call the Holy Spirit a forgotten God. Like that almost just sounds like that should not come out of my mouth, right? But the reality is, so often, this is how we live our Christian life. We live our Christian life knowing a lot about Jesus, knowing a lot about God, but we talk very little about the Holy Spirit. Just this last week, as we started to talk about it just at staff, but I have been talking about it for months, and so I will do my best now not to get so, like I feel like I'm at a place of studying the Holy Spirit over the last few months, anticipating this series for the last few months, being excited about this series for the last few months, that I'm already like way up here ready to go. I'm fired up. And I know some of you are in the room going, hey, chill just a bit. Like, can you not give us the whole ball of wax up front? But as I started to talk about it, even with our staff, and with Jake, and my dad, and Katie, and then other people like Doug Stuke, and Doug and I talked on the phone probably a total of 4 hours this week just because we started talking about the Holy Spirit. What that tells me is this. When you start talking about God and Jesus, you start learning about the love of God, you start learning about the grace of Jesus, but then you start learning about the active agent by which the person of God that actually gets you to love God more, gets you to experience grace even more. When you start talking about the Holy Spirit, guess what happens? The Holy Spirit starts talking about you in a really fantastic way. The Holy Spirit starts speaking. The Holy Spirit starts to move in ways that you didn't expect. And so this week, that's what's happening. Jake, we had our meeting and Wednesday night at youth group, he started to get into talking about, hey, we're going to have this new series coming up, Holy Spirit, and youth group kind of went off the rails in a good way. Kids were here till 10 o'clock, praying, laying hands on each other, praying for one another. I had heard that our Thursday night group, which was Wednesday night, something was in this place Wednesday night because the vintage group got together, and I heard there was amazing things going on there too. It was a really wonderful night. When we begin to speak about the very active agent, the person of God that actually gives us a fire inside of our hearts, the Holy Spirit begins to talk and speak and move and have his way. And I'm so excited about this. I'm so excited about this series. So how many of you guys remember a sermon series that I spoke in the last 4 years? Like, you could say you remember the title, you remember the message, you remember the, like, all that. How many of you remember what I spoke about last week? Or the week before? See, this is the challenge, like, is that you will not just be taught something. I don't want to teach you about the Holy Spirit, although I do want to teach you about the Holy Spirit. But if it ends with some cerebral understanding about the Holy Spirit, then I can tell you this, I have failed in my role as a pastor. Because my goal, my job for you is to speak it in such a way with such passion and clarity that you will actually begin to experience it by your submission to it. That you actually might get changed. Something might go on in you over the next few weeks that has never happened to you. And I don't care if you grew up in church or if you are just trying to figure out who Jesus is in this moment. So two outcomes, that he could be just taught or that he could be experienced. So the first message would be a message to you. The second message would be a message that would be life-changing and transformative through you. So my question is, do you want a sermon series or do you want life change? I want to make better decisions, don't you? You know what the Bible tells us about that? You do not have because you do not ask. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to actually just have his way. Pray with me for a moment, okay? Father, we come to you. And Father, we ask you. Jesus, we thank you for the cross. God, we thank you for your love. Jesus, we thank you for your grace. But now we speak directly to the person of the Godhead, the Trinity. We say, Holy Spirit, come. Not because you're not here, but make us aware of your presence like we just sang in that song. And I pray, God, over the next few weeks that this place would be filled in such a way that we couldn't help but overflow into the neighborhood in which you have called us to reach. I can't help but think of a better way to reach people than to be able to have you, God, speak about what's happening here, that the Holy Spirit would begin to permeate through street after street, block after block, and that there would be more families beginning to walk to our church because they are drawn here. Not because of this building, not because of property, not because of dynamic music or programs or anything, but God, that they would actually believe and sense that something really miraculous is going on in this little building on 9889 West 66th. The place that they have drove past and sneezed, may they, and missed, Lord, that they would drive past and they couldn't help but pull in and say, I don't know what it is, but I gotta find out what's going on. So Holy Spirit, have your way. Speak to me today. I pray that everything that I have down in my little fancy iPad would pale in comparison to what you want to put through my heart. Humble us enough, God, to sense you. In Jesus' name, amen. Whew, boy, I'm in trouble. I haven't even started the series, and I got Holy Spirit tears. So some well-meaning believers in all of Christian history, well-meaning Christ followers, when you talk about the Holy Spirit, when they talk about the Holy Spirit, it usually falls into four different types of people. The Holy Spirit falls on people that's all they talk about. Like they are just always about the Holy Spirit. They never stop talking about the Holy Spirit. In fact, the minute you see somebody walking in the door and they got their hand out and they're just like ready to heal you in a moment, you know? And they're almost like ambitious about what the Holy Spirit is gonna do through them in that moment, and you either run or you go right to them, right? So there's that type of person. They are almost boastful about what they know, what they feel, what they experience. And then you can run into the person who is intellectually driven in such a way that they could actually break down the Holy Spirit in an academic way. They could explain it theologically. They could give you scriptures from front end to back end. They could talk to you about it, and you would actually leave there going, wow, I really think that I know what the Holy Spirit is about. They're intellectually driven about the Holy Spirit. And then there's some people, well-meaning Christians, when they hear Holy Spirit, they just run. It's all they can do to avoid the Holy Spirit because they have seen so many teachings. They've seen so many people who have abused it in such a way and turned it into an identity for them rather than the identity of God in his personhood. And then there's some who couldn't intellectually explain it. They don't seem very boastful about it. But there is something about this person that every single place that they go, it's almost like the Holy Spirit just starts to seep out of their life. And you can't put a finger on it. They walk in the door and you go, I don't know what it is about that person, but man, they have unbelievable joy, unbelievable kindness, unbelievable gentleness. Like there's something supernatural about this person. And they don't have to be boastful about it, and they don't have to be overly intellectual about it. But you get it in a moment when you see them. And so this morning, I'm hoping that I can explain this in such a way, and I can begin to start this series off in such a way that it doesn't sound boastful or overly intellectual, and not even overly balanced. Now, hear what I say about that. Because people, I know some of you are going, oh, good. So we're not going to get totally crazy about the Holy Spirit here, and we're not going to get overly cerebral about the Holy Spirit and intellectual. Pastor Donnie's just going to be balanced in this approach on the Holy Spirit. Can I just tell you that I am not going to be overly balanced? And here's why. Because I am not interested in any way in any sort of misguided extremism on either side. I'm not looking for God to be balanced, because here's what I know about God. God will absolutely tip you when you thought you were balanced. God will absolutely shake you up when you thought you had it all. God will actually begin to speak to you in such a way that you would actually say, you know what, there's definitely more. I thought I had a corner on this one. Can you actually get enough of God? Let me ask you that question. Can you get enough of God? Can you get enough of his love? No. Can you get enough of his joy? No. Just when you thought you had joy, the joy of Christ, there's more joy of Christ. How many of you think you have had enough of grace? Praise God for that one. I am so glad that there is an infinite amount of grace for my life, right? How about you? That's where we're at. But you can't have too much of God. You can't put a finger on what God will do in your life. Here's the other side of it. I can't put a finger on what God would do at this church if every single person in here got so driven by the power of the Holy Spirit inside of them. I can't imagine what this church would look like, not on Sundays, but on Monday through Saturday. I can't imagine what this place would look like to other people. I can't imagine what it would look like if an Uber driver actually got really filled with the Holy Spirit, because we know Joe, don't we? How many of you think, you know, what would happen if Pastor John actually got really totally filled with the Holy Spirit? It'd be overwhelming, mass chaos. It would be overwhelming. But here's what I know, is that when people fully surrender to the power of the Holy Spirit and Christ and God's love for their life will change, and the kingdom of God will always expand. So I echo Paul's words. I read this passage this week, read it before many, many times, but it's so applicable for this week. I just happened to read it, and I stopped, man, grabbed my highlighter, and I started marking up my Bible. And I'm not even sure I have it on the screen this morning. But it's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 4 through 5. So do me a favor. Don't even look at the screen. Just close your eyes, because this is my heart for you. If I could echo Paul's words and they be my words this morning, these are my words to you. My message and my preaching, I pray that they will be very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I want to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want to do this so that you would trust, not human wisdom or intellect, but that you would trust and surrender to the very power of God through the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. That's my prayer for you. So my hope for this series is not only that it will alter your life or speak something into your life, but it will kind of like, in some ways, a good way, wreck your life. It will bless you so much that things start to change on a daily basis. I can tell you this, just in the last 2 weeks, by focusing on the Holy Spirit, I am now in a place where every time I do something, something in my head says that was Jesus. Something in my head says that was not Jesus. Something in my head says, this is not the place I want to go. This is the place I want to go. Suddenly, there's this trigger point in my decision-making that is even more clear than ever just by talking about the Holy Spirit. So we talk about God, we talk a lot about Jesus, but the Spirit sometimes seems like an afterthought when it comes to our relationship with God. So here's my thought is, if God actually had a recipe for your fulfilled life, your whole life, if he had a recipe for it, for cooking up something really, really amazing, it would probably be safe to say in most Christian circles that we are living an unfulfilled life because we've left out some ingredients. We've left out some ingredients. Here's what I mean by that. If you actually bake a loaf of bread, there's four simple ingredients. Flour, water, help me out, yeast, and salt. Try to bake a loaf of bread without flour. Try to bake a loaf of bread without water. Try to bake a loaf of bread without yeast. You get something like bread, but it's very flat, and it doesn't have a lot of substance to it. Bake it without salt, you have no flavor. You see, these are the simple ingredients. So the simplicity of our spiritual life has to be found in three ingredients that we actually, yes, learn about God and his love for us, but we focus on Jesus' grace in our life, but the active ingredient to actually increase both of those areas in our life is through the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit is not just an afterthought. He is the power by which we understand more love and more grace through Jesus and God. The Holy Spirit is the thread for your fulfilled life. That if you don't live that fulfilled life, you are living, listen, a two-thirds relationship with God. Two-thirds. That we are unfulfilled if we're not focusing on the Holy Spirit. If we do not give the Holy Spirit residence, we will not know God or Jesus. So I want to just give you an illustration. I'm going to do it through a little bit of a quiz. We're going to take a quiz. So I actually have two t-shirts up here. And the first one I'm going to give away is our 7 t-shirt that we just had for this past series that we're in. And the second one is our brand new t-shirt. This is kind of our missional shirt. All for the love of the neighborhood. And so hoping that you will actually purchase these and wear these. It's a great conversation piece for people around you, but it's also really cool, right? But this first one we're giving away because I want you to understand that there are certain things in life that you can know a lot about and not know fully about. There's certain things that you can be educated in but not have an experience with. Does that make sense? So here's one thing. I want to show this picture up here. Tell me, here's the deal. Don't anybody say anything yet. The first person, there's going to be 3 pictures. On the third picture, the first person that tells me who the person is in that third picture will get the t-shirt. Okay, so first one, who is this? Everybody knows the Jackson 5, don't we? Take a look at the next picture. Who's this? Gosh, was he just the cutest kid? Cute kid, man. Good old MJ right there. Michael Jackson. So the third picture, take a look at this one. Who's that? Oh, who said that? Kelly. And if you already have a t-shirt, you can give it away to somebody who doesn't have a t-shirt. And that one's going to be way too small for you. So go ahead and get the size you want, right? Yeah. But how many people know a lot about the Jackson 5 and their music and know a lot about Michael and even in his music, but very, very few people will know a picture of Tito when they see him. But he's an incredible musician, a great singer, and he got overshadowed by his brother. Now, the next picture. Okay, this is the good one. This is like the tougher one. And I've already told one person in the room that she can't actually compete. Who's this? This was the day of frosted tip hair for men and perms, I guess, right? This is NSYNC. Next picture. Who is this? Good old JT. Good old Justin Timberlake, right? And some of you are like looking at this picture going, I have no idea who this is. If you know NSYNC, you know just Justin Timberlake. Justin Timberlake is kind of the anchor for NSYNC, right? Next one. Anybody know who this is? No one, huh? Okay. She had posters of them all over her room. Like, she was in love with NSYNC. But Chris Kirkpatrick, nobody knows that he was actually even really a part of NSYNC. You don't see his face and look at him and go, oh, yeah, Justin Timberlake and Chris Kirkpatrick. See, Chris Kirkpatrick has an amazing voice. He's a great musician. Not only that, I looked him up. He is a great dad. Great dad. great husband. He is a good man. Like, I don't know where he stands with faith, but I can tell you this, from an outside perspective, he actually is a good guy. And we would know nothing about Chris Kirkpatrick, but I'm gonna give her a t-shirt that she's gonna give away to somebody, right? No, she's keeping it. See, this is what happens when we talk about the Holy Spirit. We know a lot about God, we know a lot about Jesus, but here, listen to me, not that you don't know about the Holy Spirit, you just have a hard time recognizing him. It's hard to see his face. It's hard to find out what he's doing. It's hard to actually experience him on a daily basis. How many of you feel that has been sometimes one of the biggest struggles in your life, is that you can know a lot about God, know a lot about Jesus, but you really wonder if you're sensing the Holy Spirit? I think we've all been there. I think all of us have been there. So the bottom line for this morning is that you cannot know God or Jesus. Listen, this is a strong statement. I pulled it back a few times. You cannot know God or Jesus without a relationship with the Holy Spirit. That will get me in trouble with some theological circles. For real. You cannot know God or Jesus without a relationship with the Holy Spirit. You cannot know who God is without the Holy Spirit, and you can't know who Jesus is without the Holy Spirit. But here's the thing. That does not mean that the Holy Spirit is not working. Even if you don't recognize the Holy Spirit and know where the Holy Spirit is activated and moving, it doesn't mean the Holy Spirit is not actually activated and moving. It's always here. Richard Rohr would say, you cannot attain the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's already present. The only thing missing is our awareness of the Holy Spirit and being awake to the Holy Spirit. So you may not be fully aware of the Holy Spirit. You may not know the Holy Spirit or understand, or you may even be fearful of the Holy Spirit, but that will never stop the Holy Spirit from continuing to do its work and, listen to me, literally interceding on your behalf. So Romans 8 says this. Romans 8, chapter verse 26 says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, even when you don't know that you're in a weakness. So there's somebody in your life right now that you know is in a major struggle and they don't have a relationship with Christ. I'm sure everybody in this room can put somebody in their mind. I got 5 or 6 people just right off the top of my head. Just because they don't know God's not in their life and Jesus is not working with them in their life, it does not mean that the Holy Spirit is not working for them. Before you ever came into a relationship with Jesus, the Holy Spirit was praying for you, on behalf of you, to the Father, literally pleading for your salvation. That is so amazing. This is how good God is. That he's not just a God who's saying, this is who I am. You can love me or not love me. You do what you want. He will hound you with the Holy Spirit. He will lead you with the Holy Spirit, even when you don't want to be led. So it says, helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself, notice the word himself. It is not an it. The minute you make the Spirit an it is the minute you make the Spirit a religion. You make the Spirit a religion when you call it an it. It is not, he is not an it. He is a person to be talked to be in relationship with, to walk with, because he's always been in relationship and walking with you even when you didn't know it. It intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. You know what I love about that? I'm way too dumb to explain the Holy Spirit. So here's the thing. In this series, I can't explain the Holy Spirit fully. It would take me an entire lifetime and even then eternity to get us to understand fully what the Holy Spirit could do in our lives. There's always more. I love that because I'm an eternal optimist. On the Enneagram scale, I'm a 7, which means I'm an enthusiast. I'm a Tigger, if you want to know what I am in Pooh Bear terms, I'm Tigger. I jump around, I hop around, I'm ready for something new. I'm always ready for the next thing. You know what I mean? And so for me, I think about the Holy Spirit and I'm going, awesome, we got something new today. We're gonna do something really creative, something really fun. But that word intercede means this. It means to intervene on our behalf or for another person. It's to intervene between parties with a view of, listen, reconciling differences. So when the Holy Spirit is intervening for you, when it's interceding for you, he's actually in that moment working really hard, infinitely, in a divine way to reconcile you back to God. And when you get reconciled back to God, he's continuing to bring you into the fullness of God. He's continuing to speak into your life. But what you can't reconcile in your mind or in your heart, he is actually working to clarify and bring hope and salvation to. St. Augustine would say it this way: without the Spirit, we can neither love God nor keep his commandments. Without the Holy Spirit, how many of you felt like you have followed God for a long time, and then there's just these momentary times in your life where you just go, something is still missing. I struggle to make good decisions. I can fall out of a relationship in one day with the Holy Spirit, and suddenly my bad decisions start to come back. It is a walking with. It is a constancy. It's constantly getting up every day. And here's what we're going to get to at the very end, is that our daily walk, our daily experience with God would not just be like, dear Heavenly Father, or Jesus, I come to you today. But what if we actually started praying towards the Trinitarian God and we started calling him for who he really is? Dear God, I love you because you have loved me first. Dear Jesus, thank you for your grace. And Holy Spirit, I come to you today, recognizing your presence, and I ask that you would just fulfill me throughout my day today. Would you be the power when in the places where I have no power? Would you be the place in my heart where I feel nothing but weakness and shame? Would you lead me, guide me, shepherd me? Would you take me through my day? May I see more of Jesus and more of the love of God through the Holy Spirit today. I'm not writing that for you, but I'm expecting you to pray it for you. I want you to. If we start praying towards the Holy Spirit, I can't imagine what's going to happen to us. So my question is your version of God a limited God? Is it a two-thirds God? The Holy Spirit is not an afterthought. In fact, he's even on the first page. Genesis chapter 1:26 says this. Then God said, so this very first page in the scriptures, the Holy Spirit existed then. It's not like New Testament, all of a sudden Jesus leaves the Holy Spirit and everybody's like, yay, we got the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been there since the beginning. Genesis 1:26 says this, let us make human beings in what? Our image. It's plural. Let us make human beings in our image. If God was not a plural God, he would just say, I'm going to make human beings in my image. But he says, let us make human beings in our image to be like who? Us. They will reign over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals and the small animals and scurry along the ground. So God is a pluralistic God. And in his most creative act in the very beginning, creating the heavens and the earth, solar systems and black novas, like whatever is supernovas, everything that's out there, whatever we see, God created in that moment, he created those things in such a way that we would not only marvel at his creation, but that we would begin to see the marvelous reality of who he truly is in the Godhead. That he's God the Father, that he's God the Son, and that the Holy Spirit was existent, three in one in the very, very beginning, bringing all of us into an extraordinary relationship in his creative act. Isaiah 11, 1 and 2 says, out of the stump of David's family will grow a shoot. Yes, a new branch. So he's saying, I'm bringing a new branch beyond what I've even created, bearing fruit. Everybody circle and highlight and underline that one. Bearing fruit from the old root. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. And the Spirit, listen what it says, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. It's more than what we are taught, more than what could ever be understood, more than what could be explained, but there is more to be experienced. That's my hope for you. The Holy Spirit is not an afterthought. The Holy Spirit is literally your spiritual walk. The Holy Spirit is your forethought to your walk. The Holy Spirit is behind you, next to you, around you, in you, before you. The Holy Spirit is everywhere with you. This is the Holy Spirit. Spirit-driven life is when we walk with the Spirit. Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit constantly, and I'll show you some examples. In fact, Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit more than anybody talked about the Holy Spirit. Jesus was always talking about the Holy Spirit. It was one of his main topics. And so in John 14:14, it says, "Yes, ask me anything in my name and I will do it." These are his words. And he says, "If you love me, obey my commandments." And this is how he says you're going to be able to obey your commandments and love him, is in verse 16. He says, "And I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate or helper." He's going to give you someone that is going to lead you and guide you and never ever leave you. So when the Spirit's in us, it can't leave us. When the Spirit dwells within you, it will never leave you. The Holy Spirit is always with you. That is the residence in which God actually takes up his greatest home, is inside of you. So he's like a spiritual assistant. He's like a spiritual nanny or lawyer or counselor. In fact, yesterday at the baseball game, for Layton's baseball game, I'm an assistant coach and I'm sitting on the sideline, and it's an amazing thing because they all know that I'm not there this morning. Layton had a baseball game this morning. They won again, and they're moving on to the semifinal round at noon today. But I'm here with you, and I'm glad I'm here with you. But as I'm coaching, these other two coaches don't really have much of a faith at all. They grew up either going, one was Catholic, one went to a United Methodist church, but neither one of them are really actively pursuing their faith right now. And one of the assistant coaches leaning up against the fence, and he looks at me and he goes, "Hey, Donnie," he's like, "just curious. So it's like 6 o'clock. You've been here since noon. You're preaching a message tomorrow, like a sermon, right? Or a sermonette, what do you call those? A homily? What do you call that?" And I said, "If you came to my church, you'd know I don't ever preach no homily. You know, that's like some short little version of a message. Sorry. If you like short messages, you came to the wrong church." But here's the thing. He says to me, he goes, "So what are you speaking about?" And I said, "Oh my goodness." In my head, I'm going, "You would ask me this week. Like, why didn't you ask me the Sunday before Easter? Oh, Jesus died on a cross for your sins. He came out of the grave. You're free now, right? Let's play baseball." You know, it's like, and I'm sitting there talking to him, and he's like, "What are you speaking on?" He said, "Oh, the Holy Spirit." And he goes, "What?" And I said, "The Holy Spirit." And he goes, "Isn't that just your conscience?" I said, "You know, kind of in a way, it is sort of your conscience. But," I said, "I'll give you this. It's deeper." "Well, nothing's deeper than your conscience." "No, it is the very thing that actually speaks to your conscience. It speaks to your conscience. It actually saturates your conscience." I said, "The Holy Spirit literally is overflowing your conscience." He goes, "Man, I'm glad you're preaching there, but I'll be playing baseball tomorrow." He said, "I have no idea what you're talking about." And I said, "Do you ever have trouble making decisions?" He goes, "Yeah, ask my wife." And I said, "Yeah, we do, don't we?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "The Holy Spirit actually helps your conscience make the best decisions, righteous decisions, the ones you never regret. The Holy Spirit helps you lead you in making decisions that people will look at you and go, I'm astounded by who he's become." And he looks at me and goes, "Maybe I should skip tomorrow and come to your church." And I wish he would, because he needs the Holy Spirit just like I do. We all do. So John 14:17, he says, "He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth, and the world cannot receive him because he isn't looking for him." The world can't see him because they're not looking. And they don't recognize him. But listen, this is for you. But you is the best school you could ever go to. What school do you go to? I go to But You. It's really good. You like that? I always got my little crowd right here. It's my. It's like But You. She's like. It's like my favorite person in the world. She laughs at all my dumb jokes. This crowd over here, not so much. Hey, Mom, why don't you laugh at me once in a while? But You. You know what I love? This is why I say that. Because Jesus, the Holy Spirit is the conjunction from a past life to a new life. So it is a conjunction. You remember that word, don't you? Like that, like Schoolhouse Rock, conjunction, junction, watch your function, hooking up words and phrases and clauses. You remember that? Like, I remember that. And you're like, yeah, I do remember that, but not like that. But it hooks up an old life to a brand new life. And this is what he says. He says, but you know him. You know him, and he lives with you now, and later he will be with you. We live in the later. That's the best part. We live in the later. We live in the now time of the past future, meaning Jesus has come. He is risen. He came out of the grave. He spent 40 days telling about, hey, wait here. I want you to hang out for 40 days with me just for a little bit, and here's what I want you to know. I'm going to leave, but don't worry. I'm not leaving you alone. I'm actually going to give you the Holy Spirit. And you know what he said? He said, it is going to be better for you that I leave you. Huh? How many of you wish Jesus would just walk into the room right now? That would be pretty epic. Like, I actually might quit preaching. It would be like the one moment where people are like, dude, he just stopped. He just quit. And he like didn't even do a conclusion. No clever illustration. He just quit. But here's the thing. Like, Jesus says, it's better for you that I leave. And here is why. Because nobody's going to have to travel thousands of miles to hear him speak. He speaks to the immediacy of your soul in a moment. You don't have to get in a car and go find him in a temple. He's with you. He never leaves you. He's in you. It's more than cerebral. It's more than emotional. It's more than intellectual. In fact, when I was getting my master's program, going through school and my education, working with these seven guys and at Berklee College, this is a school. Let me just say this. This is a school that was founded, believe it or not, on the Holy Spirit. This was a school that is driven by the Holy Spirit, a denomination that is driven by the Holy Spirit. All of its theology is around the Holy Spirit and the inner light and God speaking to you within your soul. So this is right in tune with that. But they've actually gotten a little intellectual now about it. They've turned it into an understanding, what you can know. So while we're in this class, seven of us guys, we had to take a test on the Holy Spirit just to see how much of the Holy Spirit we knew. And one of my buddies who came out of a denomination too that was also a missional denomination driven by the Holy Spirit, he too took that test. And he said, if I was getting a passing or failing grade, I would have failed. He goes, do you know that this is actually a theological conundrum for me as a pastor in a church to fail in my knowledge of the Holy Spirit? And I said, yeah, you probably shouldn't be here. You should just resign right now, right? And Jonas said, you know, I'm not going to resign from my position because I don't take a test and don't know a lot about the Holy Spirit compared to what Berklee College wants to actually teach us about the Holy Spirit. But here's what I know. I have so much more to learn. I'm so excited about what the Holy Spirit will teach me. I'm so excited about the infinite knowledge that God will give me in a daily life. He is not an academic grade. The Holy Spirit is not academic. He's more than academic. So the goal of this series is not to just explain or explore it, but for you to experience and for us to experience the Holy Spirit so that we will literally be transformed in the love of God and the grace of Jesus at deeper levels, so much so that we overflow into our neighborhood. So turn to Galatians 5. I'm going to read through a few passages in Galatians 5. Because Paul tells us what it looks like when we walk in the Holy Spirit. I'm running out of time, but I'm going to read through this. Galatians 5:16. So here's where we go. Galatians 5, basically what happened in this region, in this time, in the church of Galatia, here's what was going on. They had been in a pattern of life that was religion-based. All the ceremonies, all the rites, all the prayers, all the things that they could do, they had to do, all that stuff started to get moved to the back burner. And they said, Jesus came, you don't have to do this. In fact, you can eat bacon now, right? You know, you can eat pork. You can actually, you don't have to go to a priest to get your sins forgiven. You don't have to go behind the curtain or have somebody go behind the curtain for you. You don't have to go to the temple. You don't have to bring this sacrifice of a live animal and get it sacrificed. They were basically saying, Paul was saying, stop trying to make it a religion. God is not a religion. He has a relationship with us. So the new rule was that a life that they could live could be lived through the power and the freedom of the Holy Spirit. So verse 16, Paul wants to show them what that life would actually look like. This is what it looks like. He said, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what the sinful nature craves. Now, my favorite translation in preaching is the New Living Translation. That's the one that I preach from because I like the common language that comes out of it. It's not always necessarily my favorite version, and especially for this verse. My favorite version is one that sounds like this. It's by the Holy Spirit, not a guide. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, then you won't be doing what the sinful nature craves. My favorite is this, walk by the Spirit. The New King James Version says, walk in the Spirit. So walk by is not a place. Walking by, this is not describing a place in your life. It is describing a presence of power in your life. Walk by, walk in, walk through. The Holy Spirit is everywhere, always. The Holy Spirit doesn't actually walk next to you or in front of you or around you or with you. The Holy Spirit is in your life so that you can see God, listen to me, you can see God and Jesus working in the person next to them, next to you. The person in front of you who might have a problem or a struggle, the person around you that is in a pattern and a struggle in life where they can't get out of. And this is their source of power. So when the Spirit is walking in you, he starts speaking to you about people who are next to you. That's the best part about this, is that the Spirit gives us the power to see things in the common world that we would never, ever see. So for instance, my dad had a really awesome car when he was in high school. 1969, I think it was 1969, Plymouth GTX with a 440 Magnum in it. You know that car today, if you just get the body and the chassis and the wheels, no engine whatsoever, that thing is worth about 30 grand. If you get a fully restored GTX, it's about $80,000. But do you know that Plymouth GTX without an engine or that really good old-fashioned unleaded leaded gas in it is not worth anything. It won't actually fulfill its intended purpose if it doesn't have the engine and the gas. So our spiritual life is very similar. Like, we don't have the power to live the life that you want to live unless we have the power of the Holy Spirit guiding, leading, and we're walking by the Holy Spirit. Now, because I'm an artist, I really love Eugene Peterson's actual version of this. And this is what he says, my counsel is this, live freely, animated and motivated by God's Spirit. Live freely, animated and motivated by God's Spirit. Then you won't feed on the compulsions of selfishness. So here's my thing with that. When I was in art school in Southern California, Laguna Beach, I got into cartooning class. And I'll never forget that the professor told me, he said, if you want to be a great cartoonist, you have to be good at exaggerating. So whatever is unique to a person's life, you have to be the artist that exaggerates that and makes it better, makes it bigger, makes it more noticeable. So if I'm in a cartoon Jay Leno, what do you think I would exaggerate? His chin, right? If I'm going to cartoon Donald Trump, what would I exaggerate? His hair. If I'm going to exaggerate or a cartoon Oprah, what would I exaggerate? Just think about it for a second. I say eyes, Amazing eyes. So here's another one. Mick Jagger. Mouth, right? Arnold. See, I don't even have to say his last name. Right? Arnold Schwarzenegger. Muscles. Dolly Parton. Yeah, lipstick. What are you guys thinking? So here's the truth I want to give you. When you walk by the Spirit, when you walk with the Spirit, He will motivate and animate you. In other words, He's going to take all the gifts that are inherent to you, the ones that people might notice on an occasion, and He's going to exaggerate them. He's going to make them bigger. He's going to make them better. He's going to take your natural gifts of happiness or joy, whatever it is. Maybe you have creativity. Maybe you're a person who's really great with numbers. He's going to take that person, and He's going to use your numbers for His glory. He's going to use your creativity for His glory, and He's going to exaggerate it in such a way that people will look at your life and go, he is like way beyond normal. She is extraordinary. He takes the physical attributes of your life and he exaggerates and motivates them out of you. Those divine or those best qualities that you have turn into divine attributes. Your uniqueness begins to become visible to people around you. So when you speak about the Spirit starts to speak about you. He exaggerates and motivates you to be the person that you never thought you could be. But I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Verse 17, the sinful nature wants to do evil. Here's what the sinful nature wants. The sinful nature wants to do evil. Which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. Here's what the Spirit wants. It desires it gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces, listen to me, are constantly fighting. Here's what's interesting about that. They're not fighting with you. They're in battle against each other. You're just in the middle. So whatever that sinful nature is, let me tell you, is not you. Whatever you can't get over is not you. Whatever you have been driven by in the past is not you. Who you are in Christ Jesus is a child of God who is being warred with in constant battle for your identity and to give you goodness and compulsions that would cause you to be an amazing human being by your attributes, by God's gifts in you, by the love of God, and you would become that person. Constantly fighting each other so that you are not free to carry out your good intentions. How many of you have good intentions? I think we all do, don't we? Look at verse 18. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. I'm not going to get into that right now. But how? How do we motivate and animate the false version of ourselves? And I say the false version. How would you motivate and animate the false version? The one that is actually leading you to a place of destruction. Well, he says in verse 19, I'm going to read these. When you follow the desires of the sinful nature, the results are very clear. Results. Whatever you follow is going to produce something in you and out of you. There will be results for the life that you live. How's that going for you? But this is what he says. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and underline, circle, highlight, and other sins like these. I read that and I can't even believe I just read all those things in church. I just feel filthy. I feel like I just cussed to you right from the stage. Sexual immorality, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, outbursts of anger. Like these are things that will destroy your life. These are not dark things that just happened on the news in 2019. These are dark things that the enemy has been using for years to draw you into an identity that was never yours. He is going to pull you towards that place. He's going to do everything he can to drag you into a harmful, sinful life that is destructive, totally destructive. The compulsive voice that you listen to more is the voice that people will begin to see you as. So if you follow the compulsive voice of immorality, impurity, lust, pleasure, idolatry, sorcery, and witchcraft, all these things, drunkenness, all these things, dissension, division, wild parties, and then he says, and other sins like these. You know what that tells me? The enemy knows how gifted you are. The enemy knows how creative you are. And the enemy will speak into your mind to tell you not only the things that you should do, but he will help you create more things to destroy your life and the people around you. We are creative on both sides. The false version, listen to me, is inexhaustible. You will create more things, not just the ones that are listed. But look how he says how to motivate and animate your life in the free and real version of you. This is it, 22. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. The free version of you is incredibly simple, but unbelievably powerful. You're not going to create anything more than that, because this is what he created. When you walk with Jesus, you walk with Jesus. When you walk with Jesus and the Holy Spirit and God, you actually start to look a lot like Jesus and God in your life. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions, the compulsions, and the desires of the sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every single place in our lives. And I would say it's a little bit like a dance. That when you start to walk with Jesus, when you start to walk and follow God, and when you actually speak to the Holy Spirit and ask the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you, he says, walk in step with the Holy Spirit. How many of you have ever been a dancer? Somebody who has danced with somebody else. If you're going to dance with somebody else, you better know where they're stepping. I'm really good at stepping on people's toes when I'm dancing with people. But C.S. Lewis actually calls the work of the Holy Spirit, it's like this idea of a dance, that we are actually dancing with God, and we're following his lead, and we're letting him lead, and we're just becoming the person who eventually, by practice and by walking and dancing with God, he actually turns you into a really good dancer over time, because you're being followed and you're being led by him. When you actually speak into the Holy Spirit and say, speak to me, lead me, guide me, he begins to dance with you. He begins to lead you. Second truth is this: life in the Spirit is not optional. If you want a life in the Spirit, it's essential. It's everything to you. So I'm going to give you this is how I wanted to illustrate it this morning. It's just a phone. This will be the first time some of this has ever happened in this church. So this glass represents your life. This is who you are. So this is what we do in our life. We add a little hot sauce to our life, don't we? You know what this hot sauce represents? This hot sauce represents a little bit of anger. I mean, it starts small, a little drop by drop by drop, but we just keep dumping it in. And the more we dump it in, the more our life looks like we are just filled with anger. Everything we do is filled with anger, and we just keep going. And you know, when people see us, that's what they see. They see an angry person. But maybe it's not just anger for you. Maybe it's unforgiveness that turned into bitterness. And you would just, actually, these two together would probably taste okay. Vinegar and hot sauce? Sounds like barbecue to me, right? But it turns into anger, and it turns into this place where eventually it's bitterness, and you just keep drinking it down. You can't stop yourself. But maybe for you, it's like every single day you're just looking at life and just saying, I need something. I gotta have energy. I gotta have more energy. I gotta add an energy monster drink to my life. Maybe for you it's coffee. I like coffee. And you just add some coffee to your life because you just need to get going. Maybe you're just frustrated with everything, and maybe the party started to call. Maybe the buddies said, hey, let's go out tonight, just you and me, leave your wife at home. And so you started to dump a little bit of alcohol into your life. And it started just with one drink, and then it just kept going, and you couldn't stop it. But maybe you're a little more dignified, and you decided you're going to drink wine, not beer. And so you just start pouring that into your life as well. And this becomes you. Who would drink this? Ooh. It's really bad. Anybody want to drink? This is probably the first time that beer and wine have been drank by the pastor in church. Sorry. It's not a lot in here. Man, it's hot, spicy, bitter, and nasty. It is gross. But this is what we do. This is what we drink. You know what's interesting about Jesus on the cross? He denied the first glass because he said he didn't want to be inebriated. He didn't want, don't give me the wine that is lined with something that's going to get me to the cross. But then he finally drank the cup that was filled with bitterness and rage, anger and hostility, dissension, factions, sexual immorality, struggles, anything in your life he put on that cross, and they said, drink it, and he gladly drank it. But here's the option that we have. When we begin to just take in a little bit of the love of God through the Holy Spirit, just a little bit. Come on, this illustration's got to work. He begins to overflow in your life. But when you get the love of God, here's what you get. You get love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness. You get all of him just by accepting him. You don't get, they're not like little things that, oh, well, I'll get a little bit more joy. No, if you get the love of God, you always get more joy. If you get the love of God, you get more peace. If you get the love of God, it's inherent that you get joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Outside of a little bit at the bottom, that you can't look at that. It's a pretty clear glass of water. And it's good. It's good. And it overflows in you. You just keep pouring it out. And people will drink from that cup. They will drink from that cup. The Spirit-driven life is a Spirit-filled life that overflows, not just out of you, but into the people next to you. Walk by the Spirit. And here's how I want you to do it. Don't try to engage it in some weird, powerful way. Start by talking to him as a person. It's the way I started this message. Would you start praying every single day this week? Back in January, I did a series called Yes. Yes to God. Yes to his Holy Spirit. And here's what I asked you to do. I asked you to pray to Jesus. I asked you to pray to God as your Abba, as your Father. That you would pray and you would say, rather than dear God, dear Jesus, dear Holy Spirit, you would say, dear Abba. It's an endearing word of talking to your Father God. This week, throughout the week, I'm going to ask you, beg you to speak and pray to the Holy Spirit. Start every prayer. Say, Holy Spirit, I come to you. Holy Spirit, I'm engaging your presence. Holy Spirit, I speak to you because I want you to speak to me. Holy Spirit, would you fill me, overflow in me and out of me? Holy Spirit, would you purify me? Would you take me away from all the things that I want to be drawn to? Would you actually fill me with the things that are going to fulfill me? I want to see you, know you, experience you at every single level. Just pray to the Holy Spirit and ask him to transform you. Amen?